time to enlighten up and health yourself at the same time. It's Natural Solutions Radio with Sir Eliezer Ben Joseph, traditional naturopath.
And good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. Be proud of yourself, and a little excitement is in order. For however you found yourself here at Natural Solutions Radio, there are no accidents. Here you are, knowing and believing truth to always be there when you need it. This is the show where you can learn to health yourself and enlighten up at the same time. You're about to enter the gateway into the world of natural health and freedom technologies, with alternative and complementary therapies, all representing the leading edge of natural medicine and social commentary today. Enjoy the information at Natural Solutions Radio. There was a study, a pretty big study, on sleeping habits and what poor sleep habits do. And they found that poor sleeping habits actually fuels bad eating habits and even increases your risk of heart disease and diabetes. And it's hard to overestimate the importance of sleep. High-quality sleep is associated with everything from better productivity, concentration, and athletic performance. Also improved immune function and mental health. Conversely, inefficient or poor sleep increases one's risk of numerous health risks, including heart disease, diabetes, general inflammation throughout the body, just to name a few. We've known about these associations for some time, yet new research is beginning to uncover the underlying causes behind these outcomes. So a study was done by the University of Arizona and Tucson. And they wanted to understand different questions related to sleep and how it affects immune systems and diseases. And they found that poor sleep habits increased the risk of late-night snacking. And they uncovered that an association between this with skin damage and metabolic diseases such as diabetes and insulin resistance and other serious health conditions like heart disease. Studies are continuing, and they're gathering information, but this study was done on over 3,000 adults across 23 metropolitan areas in the United States, and the researchers wanted to understand why poor sleep habits contributed to these behavioral-related diseases. They found that obesity and diabetes, those are behavior-related diseases. And the study participants answered questionnaires about their qualities of sleep, diagnosed, and poor eating habits. And they found a direct connection between poor eating habits and lack of good sleep. Anyway, sleep deprivation was found to be an indicator of unhealthy food cravings and eating habits, which in turn were linked to higher likelihood of diagnosis of obesity, diabetes, hypertension, heart disease, and so they were looking at that. Now, the American Sleep Association is coming out with ideas on how to actually get better sleep. Anyway, the National Sleep Foundation released some key determinants of good quality sleep, which was established by a panel of experts. And these key indicators of quality sleep are included in a report published in the journal Sleep Health. And they include sleeping for at least 85% of the total time in bed, falling asleep within 30 minutes or less, waking up not more than one time each night, and also staying awake for 20 minutes or less after initially falling asleep. These were considered good quality sleep. They also came out with how to improve your sleep quality. So for those of you that don't have sleeping quality, here's some of the ideas to actually help get a better night's sleep. First, get a schedule and stick to it. Keep your circadian rhythms on track by going to bed and waking up at the same time every day, even on weekends. And it really is. Figure around 7 to 8 hours of sleep for an adult, anywhere from 8 to 10 hours for a child or a teenager. Get that schedule, get it so that you go to sleep every night at the exact same time, and you wake up at the same time in the morning. And after a while, you will not need an alarm clock to wake up because it'll automatically wake you up. You'll wake up 5 minutes before the alarm comes off. The other thing they said, be very watchful of what you eat and drink. refrain from consuming a lot of foods and drinks that will keep you awake at night, especially at least 4 hours before bedtime. These includes don't drink any coffee or tea or alcohol, or some people even that are sensitive to chocolate. In addition, avoid going to bed too full or hungry. So watch what you eat. Also, the next one is create a bedtime routine. Relaxation is essential to fall asleep faster, so doing something regularly an hour before bed will help you to your brain to associate it with sleep. Listen to relaxing music or practice a little simple yoga poses or some breathing exercises. Take a warm bath at least an hour before you go to sleep, not right before you go to sleep. These will help you. What you can do is do like a ceremonial. The more ceremonies you create in your life, the more you'll actually feel better. So at night, you might make a cup of hot chamomile tea, go out into the backyard and just listen to the sounds of the night, whether it's the cars way off in the distance or a dog barking or the wind through the trees. Sip your tea and it's in the dark. So that can help prepare the mind for sleeping. Next thing, turn off the lights. And lights affects the body's clock. Therefore, turn off the lamps, lights, even the LCD screens on your clocks and on your television. And if you can't turn off the lights or screens completely, you can at least dim them to induce sleep. The next one is make your bedroom sleep-inducing, and that means use curtains to block out the light from the outdoors. You can even paint the walls with a calming color and use a comfortable mattress, sheets, and pillows. Keep your room temperature around 67 degrees. They found that's the optimal temperature for sleeping. And then refrain from tossing and turning. Avoid looking at the clock when you're trying to fall asleep, especially that blue light, because this actually elevates stress hormones, cortisol in the body, which makes it more difficult to fall asleep. So if you're worried about something, write it down. This way it helps to get it out of your head so that you're not thinking about it over and over. So those are some of the ways that people can sleep and help to improve sleep habits. There was an article on how they're using trained bees for locating old landmines. And this was in Croatia, but they're also doing it in Vietnam and Laos, where actually millions of landmines were buried throughout the countries. And to this day, children and adults, by accident, if they go off the beaten path, may step on a landmine, and there's a huge amount of loss of limbs in those areas. What they are doing, there was an ongoing effort to detect and disarm forgotten explosives in battlefield around the world, and they've received a new tool. And this was Scottish researchers successfully have trained honeybees to sniff out old landmines. And this was a article in the Daily Express. And the bees were trained to associate the smell of explosives with food. And when they detected a landmine, they would land and crawl all over it in search of the expected food goodies. And during these close-up investigations, the bodies of the honeybees would be marked by a chemical scent of the old explosives. And when the insects returned to their hives, at the end of the day, they passed through a canvas-like material developed by St. Andrews University. And this canvas is then bathed in light, revealing any trace of the chemical associated with the explosive. And what they found is that the bees learned to associate this smell with finding of food. And bees could find landmines left over from long-concluded wars. And these mines left over from Croatia or independent or more than two decades ago when Croatia successfully broke away from the fragmenting Yugoslavia. So the bees are cheaper and potentially better bomb sniffing than dogs. And dogs weigh a little bit, and by accident, if they step on something, they can be killed. And they're very expensive, bomb sniffing dogs. Bees, even the weight of a number of bees is not enough to set off the landmine. Anyway, that was a nice study. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio. We'll be back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And welcome back, welcome back. Thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. There's, there's a number of pesticides, heavy metals, things like that, that they're finding all kinds of toxic material in cereals. Hopefully, people don't eat those kinds of cereals. You know, the cereal itself was really an invention in America. Nobody eats cereal around the world for breakfast. You know, in the United States, it's easy. You put a bowl of Fruit Loops or Cocoa Krispies, you do it with a glass of milk, and that's how most kids start their breakfast. When I lived in Europe and all over, nobody eats cereal like that. They have cut up vegetables and eggs and fish and cut up carrots and peppers. When you buy organic and it's labeled organic non-GMO, it actually has to be organic and non-GMO. If they get caught, especially if it's got California certifications, because if they lose that certification, it takes years to be able to get it back again. So there, people with that certification are very careful. I would suggest not using cow's milk, because I think cow's milk has, unless you're buying organic raw, which is most places illegal, I would use something like either some of the nut milks, hemp milk, flax milk, almond milk, cashew milk, coconut milk, I think, is one of the best. And then the cereals, for some people, if they need to be, they might need gluten-free cereals, so it'll say on there. But I think all of the cereals need to be organic and GMO-free. And GMO stands for genetically modified organism. So I would say cereal if it's a quick breakfast. But most people need a little, to start their breakfast, they need some protein and fat. And so sometimes eating cereal and milk is not enough. That's where an hour later you're going to really be craving, because those carbohydrates, they increase insulin and they up your food cravings. So oftentimes I would say some organic omega-3 eggs and maybe some sliced avocado, or for those of you that eat fish, some sardines or wild salmon, lox as an example, which is a smoked salmon. Those are really high-grade breakfasts because they're going to be more protein and fat, which lasts longer. I think the kids that go to school on just a cereal and a glass of milk, oftentimes it's those sugary cereals. It's like eating donuts and a glass of milk and going to school. So that amount of sugar and or carbs that push insulin actually deadens the brain so much, where healthy proteins, and whether it's some sliced fish or eggs, or some people, as an example, you can have cut up vegetables dipped in hummus, which is a garbanzo bean spread with tahini. So those are better. It's also like a breakfast burritos, you know, whole grain, gluten-free, yeah, with eggs and a little organic cheese. You had another question?
Can I wear magnetic insoles if I have a pacemaker?
Oh, yes, because that magnet is very far away from your heart. You wouldn't put a magnet on, you know, you wouldn't wear a long chest necklace, you know, with a big magnet pendant, yes, because then it would hang right next to your heart. Actually, even a magnetic necklace is probably okay because it's far away from the heart. But certainly the insoles or even a wrist magnet or ankle magnets are all perfectly okay because they're far away from the pacemaker. Okay. That was a very good question, by the way, not just for you, for others too.
Having problems with foot neuropathy, that's why I had purchased some.
Yes, that is a good product that really does help. Also, there's a technique called vibration, whole body vibration. You can get on those machines and you stand on those and it'll vibrate you at very high rates of vibration. And that vibration actually stimulates new nerve growth. Now, there's some supplements you can take like alpha lipoic acid and benfotiamine, which is a form of vitamin B1. It's a rare form. It was developed in Japan. That happens to be in prime longevity, by the way. It is available in that, and those nutrients can help to regrow nerves for neuropathy. But the magnetic insoles, that's one of your best choices. Very, very good. Also, far infrared, because the heat actually helps the nerve growth and helps to alleviate some of the pain with the neuropathy sometimes. And the heat also stimulates the body to get rid of toxic material that's been held onto. So there's different forms of far infrared saunas. So excellent question. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I may have just touched on it last week because I talked about one of the articles that touching someone reduces pain. Well, there was another, and that was a really quite of a nice article. I think I talked about it last week or the week before, that the mere fact of touching or stroking or holding someone's hand when they're in pain reduced the pain receptors and reduced the actual the cytokines that cause pain and the chemicals that cause pain and the firing of the nervous system was reduced with just the stroking or the holding of hands. Well, now there's a new study that they found out that when people are close to each other, that when they are actually near each other or in a group, that their brainwave patterns mysteriously sync up, and they sync up when they're near each other, according to new science. And this was a study published in the journal Current Biology, and they revealed that people's brainwaves exhibit remarkably similar patterns when they're close to each other, that those brain, it's called entrainment, and their brains sync up electrical patterns, especially when they belong to a group that was more engaged with each other and the world around them. And they found the more engagement they had, that the more the brain waves synced up with each other. So this was a study that was done, and it was New York University and the Max Planck Institute of Empirical Aesthetics. And so they were using electroencephalogram machines, and they were monitoring the brain waves of people and activity of the brain. They used high school students, and they wanted to find out how these brains worked when they were close to each other or in different groups. So they found out that the closer they were to somebody and the closer they were to the people in the groups, the more the brain waves synchronized. So I thought that was quite unique. So again, since brain waves synchronize, it would be very important for those of you that you get close to. And same thing with when you have a young child, a baby as an example. That's why it's very important that when a new mother, a new family, has their freshly born baby, it's very important who you let around that child for the first 3 months. One, because I think this new brainwave pattern, and children, especially infants, are very sensitive to this and other people's brainwaves. You know, sometimes kids just have a natural affinity for someone, or they have a natural where they're repelled by someone. So it's very important for mothers of newborns, be very careful who comes around your babies or your children. So it's also important as your kids grow up, who do they hang out with? What kind of groups of kids are they hanging out with? Again, parents need to be aware of what kind of groups that your kids hang out with. Because of this, they found, again, this study that people's brainwave patterns sync up when they're near each other, and especially in groups. So you have to be careful which group are they hanging out with. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining me.
Eliezer Ben-Joseph, what is a good natural remedy for diverticulitis? Is diatomaceous earth a good option? Thank you for all you do.
Oh, thank you. Diverticulitis can be a lot of discomfort. It can also be life-threatening, especially if there's an infection that gets in one of those diverticuli. It's the opposite of a polyp. And so you have this tube, your intestinal tract is a long tube, goes from your mouth all the way to your butt. And that tube is a continuous tube. Now, at the colon area, sometimes you get little things that grow into the tube, meaning coming and actually coming out into the tube. Those are called polyps. And when you get a colonoscopy, often they see a polyp and they will use like a little garrote, and they will take that polyp out. Or the polyp can be would be similar to one, but the growth is going outside of the tube. That's called a diverticuli. And so when you eat certain foods, maybe a tomato seed or a piece of a nut or a piece of food, it can get caught in one of those little pockets and stay in there and get infection. And so that's when you might have abdominal pains or bowel problems, diarrhea, and it can get worse over a period of time. Now, he mentioned diatomaceous earth. That's one of the products that's been around for, oh my gosh, hundreds of years. It's been used in veterinary medicine for hundreds of years. And what that is microscopic seashells. So they help to break down polyps and stop it. But I would mix that with a fiber. And I think one of the simplest, easiest fibers to use is something considered like Metamucil. Now, I like Nature Sunshine psyllium hulls. You know, all of the Metamucils on the market are rated in absorption factor, how much they absorb per amount of psyllium. And Nature Sunshine, the psyllium hulls, is a very high absorption rate. So a teaspoon of that and a level tablespoon of diatomaceous earth mixed in a little juice, you can drink that down. Sometimes I put a tablespoon of yogurt made from coconut milk instead of cow's milk, and that will bind the diatomaceous earth just enough so it doesn't sink to the bottom of the glass. Oftentimes you have to put more liquid in, swirl it around, and drink it. So a level tablespoon of diatomaceous earth, it's very, very fine. It's like talcum powder. And again, it's one of the best things in the world to help prevent polyps and diverticuli and colon cancer. And we've had people that came in with colonoscopies that showed many polyps and diverticuli, and they were headed on their way to colon cancer. and you start them on a psyllium and diatomaceous earth mixture, along with changing the diet, eating fermented foods. So you want to eat sauerkraut, you want to eat kimchi, apple cider vinegar, yogurt with a live culture from coconut milk. Those good bacteria battle the bad bacteria and keep your ecology, that little forest that's in your intestinal tract, keeps it healthy. So the bacteria that you eat from sauerkraut is different. It's the same bacteria you get when you take a probiotic pill. The difference is a capsule or pill of probiotics can have 10, 20, even 30 billion organisms. But three forkfuls of sauerkraut have 10 trillion organisms. So it's those organisms, the good guys, that give you your B vitamins and help battle the bad bacteria. So eating those fermented foods, that's a prevention. And then the psyllium hulls, a teaspoon, with the diatomaceous earth, that really gets rid of those conditions. So it's very, very good. Some people taking the diatomaceous earth alone, it can cause in the beginning a little loose bowels or constipation. Same thing with taking psyllium hulls. In the beginning, if you take those by themselves and you have a tendency for constipation, that can make you a little more constipated in the beginning. So that's why the reason that I recommend the fermented foods. Another great food for the bowels that's one of the healthiest foods in the world are prunes. And you get organic prunes that have been dried, and that's a plum that's been dried. They're very high in antioxidants. You take maybe 4 or 5 prunes a day, put it in a little saucer, cover it with good water, and let it soak for about 4 hours. And sometime after dinner, drink the liquid and eat those 4 or 5 prunes, and you'll have great bowel movements for the rest of your life. And even a little prune juice is one of the first things I would reach for constipation instead of drugs. So diatomaceous earth is one of the best products in the world. It pulls out heavy metals. It gets rid of chemicals. It also gives you about 2% silica. So it's very, very important. Silica is one of the most important minerals that the body can take for high blood pressure or elasticity of your joints, ligaments, cartilage, and how your connective tissue gets rebuilt. So that's very, very important. Very good question on this is a little issue on how to prevent these colon issues. Certainly taking those nutrients and the probiotics and the sauerkraut and the diatomaceous earth with the psyllium, it will help prevent colon cancer. Also, it'll help with Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, and if you have chronic diarrhea. On the one hand, it means you're eating some foods you're allergic to, so the fiber and the diatomaceous earth can really help that, along with the probiotics. So if you have an ulcerative colitis where you're having chronic loose bowels or Crohn's disease, same thing. These nutrients will help put you in remission and keep you in remission.
Two questions.
Yes.
One was from Nikki. And she says, when I take vitamin D3, I feel tired. I feel better taking D2, 50,000 weekly. My level was 22. I heard D3 is better. Why is that?
D3 is the natural form that your body uses. D2 is much more of a synthetic form. That's what MDs use, and they write it in a prescription. When your vitamin D is that low at 20, we want the numbers between 75 and 95. So it would be important that 50,000 units once a week will not bring that up fast enough. You might change the brand of the vitamin D3 that you're taking. They might have some other ingredients in there other than the D3. So again, there's different brands. Each brand might be a little different. There's also some liquids. But you want to take at least, when your vitamin D is in the 20s like that, I would have you take 50,000 units every day for about 5 days. And then you would go down to about 10,000 units a day. So, again, I would take it with food. That might help it make it easy. If you are taking it with food and you're getting tired right afterwards, then it might be that you're eating something that you're allergic to. So you have to be careful on that. Fatigue is one of the first symptoms of a food allergy. And you won't feel most allergens, about 90% of the symptoms you don't feel. Only about 10% of allergic symptoms symptoms do you really feel? So, but fatigue is one of the first symptoms of food allergies. I think that answers the question. Yeah, next question.
Last question was from Sandy. She says, what is the best dose of COQ10 for someone 70?
For 70 years old, I would take at least 100 milligrams a day. You can, if you have heart disease, 120, 200, 400. If you had cancer, you can even go as high as 500 milligrams a day. I know that the Life Extension Company, they'll recommend as high as 1,000 milligrams if you have cancer or if you have severe heart disease. Anything above 100 milligrams, I have 120 milligrams in Prime Longevity, which is a very high dose. It would be very, very difficult to eat foods to get that high a dose into your diet. Coenzyme Q10, CQ10 comes from animal products or fermented foods, and it's hard to get. But I like it to get that higher dose, take it in a pill form. And there's two forms of CQ10, ubiquinol and ubiquinone. And don't be fooled by the advertising gimmick of ubiquinol. And they talk about it being more absorbed, it absorbs faster and longer, and that the studies on ubiquinol show that it's a much more effective product. What they don't tell you is those are Petri dish studies. They're not in the body studies, because what they don't tell you, all forms of CQ10, when you take them orally, will change to ubiquinone in the stomach. All forms. So when you pay that high price for ubiquinol and it goes into the stomach through digestion, it changes form back to ubiquinone. Then in the intestines, the body will absorb that and then convert it to ubiquinone or ubiquinol. One works inside the cell as an antioxidant, and the other one works on the cell membrane. So they're both necessary, and the body will convert what it wants. It takes a ubiquinone, which is the cheaper form, but also the form that the body uses the most, and then it converts that to ubiquinol as needed. So when I first put together Prime Longevity, I had a 50-50 mixture of ubiquinone and ubiquinol. And when I found out through the scientific research that all ubiquinol changes to ubiquinone in the digestive system, I took it out and used it now of pure ubiquinone. That allowed me to add 25 milligrams of astaxanthin without having to change the price of Prime Longevity. Now, it is an expensive product, but when you buy it on AutoShip, you can get it down to very inexpensive, and again, it is the highest antioxidants on the market. So CQ10 is one of the best things, especially if you take it, say, with vitamin E and the mineral selenium. Those are going to be very specific for the heart. Hawthorn berries, I know I have some articles on that, and I can look and see. But yes, here, these nutrients are specific for heart attack. And number one is coenzyme Q10. This nutrient helps the heart become energized. And research has shown that the consumption of CQ10 improved the survival rate of people, even those with severe heart failure. And at the same time, CQ10 reduced the incidences of hospitalizations. When you add selenium and vitamin E, that can help reverse cardiomyopathy. Cardiomyopathy is when the heart really swells up. Some other of these nutrients are the anthocyanins, and they're plant pigments that give berries their vibrant colors of crimson, indigo, purple. And studies have found that the acai berry or blueberries or pomegranates reduce the levels of the bad form or low-density lipoprotein. It's not really bad, because there's two types of low-density lipoproteins. There's what's called the small, dense, solid particle, and then there's the large, fluffy LDL particle. And when they delineate that LDL and they find out it's the large, fluffy, that's actually protective for your heart and against cancer. So anyway, bilberries and blueberries and raspberries and all of these berries, specifically in pomegranates, contain these anthocyanidins, and their angio, they actually convert enzymes that promote, they actually stop the production of these enzymes that promote high blood pressure. So you can get that and take that in a capsule or a tablet. Nature Sunshine makes one called HP Grapene, which is very high in the proanthocyanidins, cyanidins, anthocyanidins. So that's two nutrients right there. Then hawthorn berries. Hawthorn berry is an herb traditionally used. Let me go ahead and break here. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And welcome back. Welcome back. Thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. We were having a question. They were talking about heart and CQ10. It came up with this article that shows that there's certain nutrients that are very, very powerful against heart disease. And I was mentioning hawthorn berries, which is a tonic for the heart. We already mentioned the proanthocyanidins, the CQ10. And the anthocyanidins, and then hawthorn, the herb, which is, it can help with high blood pressure and irregular heartbeat, shortness of breath. Then another one is the astaxanthin. I was talking about that because those products are in Prime Longevity. And Prime Longevity, by the way, for those of you taking Prime Longevity, especially for the first time, there's a very high dose of pure niacin, which is vitamin B3. That helps with depression and bipolar and IQ and memory. And so sometimes you have to be careful, because if you have a lot of allergens in your bloodstream, it causes a histamine reaction, and you'll get this kind of heat and flush. That goes away in 20 minutes. It's harmless, and it means it's chelating out those allergens. So that's the other thing. Other than that, the Prime Longevity has all of those high amounts of CQ10 and astaxanthin. Another one that's not in Prime, by the way, is magnesium, and this is mineral. It's found in leafy green vegetables and pumpkin seeds and yogurt and almonds and dark chocolate and beans. And it improves inflammatory markers like CRP. It can help lower that, and for heart disease, C-reactive proteins. And it also regulates the production of cholesterol. Same with the niacin. Vitamin C, of course, is very important for the heart, as along with quercetin, which is one of the bioflavonoids in vitamin C. And the last one is bergamot, which is a type of Italian orange that is rich in antioxidant polyphenols. You can get that from the essential oil from doTERRA, and they have that available.
We have Kathy is asking, what can be done for plantar fasciitis?
Oh, that's going to take some kind of body work. Go to a good foot reflexologist, or someone that does polarity therapy or Rolfing or postural integration or the Heller method, and have them do what's called the foot session on there. And that actually will take the stress off of that. It's on the bottoms of the feet and those ligaments and tendons, the tendons that attach the muscles to the bone and the ligaments that attach bone to bone. They can get soft and stretched, and you can feel pain or there's inflammation. Another way to get rid of it on your own is get a bread roller pin, and you put it on the floor and you put your feet on it, lean over and put your arms on your knees so that it increases the weight of the pressure on the bottoms of your feet, and then move your feet forwards and backwards on that rolling pin, and it'll actually help to actually stretch that, and it'll take the pain away. There's one spot towards the heel, right on the sole of the foot, that's usually the most painful. You can also put that rolling pin next to the door, open the door and hold on to the doorknobs on both sides, and then stand on that rolling pin and just move it backwards slightly 1 inch. You find the spot that's the most painful, and then be careful, because you're putting the whole weight on your on that rolling pin, so it'll cause more pain. But you stretch that tendon out, and it'll take that pain away. Or again, you find somebody that does Rolfing or foot reflexology, and they take their knuckles and they'll put it right into that section and actually help get rid of that pain. We've done that quite often. It's a very quick session, only takes about 15 minutes. It's a little bit painful because you're having to press right on that spot where you feel the pain. But once you do that, then the pain is gone and you'll be able to walk. Another thing is sometimes the ankle is rotated either inward or outward, and you could tell when you look at their shoe, is it more worn on the inside of the sole or on the outside of the sole? If that's the case, then you can go to a good chiropractor and get fitted for a shoe insert. I like the Foot Levelers. I think they're one of the best companies. It's a leather and sorbethane, so it works very well. They even have one with magnets in it. And another thing you can do is get the magnetic insoles and put that into your shoes, and that often will also take away the pain from the plantar area. So I think that answers it. Some of the things you can take, it's an anti-inflammatory, would be nattokinase or serrapeptase. Serrapeptase is one of the strongest known anti-inflammatories, and that can help with. Then taking the mineral magnesium, coral calcium, and silica. So silica, I use bamboo. That's the highest source of silica. And if you can get in a good 2 to 4 capsules, so you're getting in close to 140 or 280 milligrams of pure silica, elemental silica, and that helps to keep the tendons nice and supple. And magnesium is important, and vitamin C for connective tissue. But silica is the most important nutrient for ligaments, tendons, and connective tissue. So that'll help on that. You can do those nutrients. MSM is the last one that just popped into my mind, which is a form of sulfur, methyl sulfuronium methane. And that's very, very good for any kind of joint pains or dysfunction with ligaments, tendons, or your joints, especially if you see them bulging and changing shape. So that's it. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph. We'll be right back.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining me. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph at Natural Solutions Radio.
Nikki asks, she says, I am type 2 diabetic. Is there a natural metformin for diabetes? I take 500 a day.
That's a pill form to help regulate sugar metabolism. Metformin, by the way, is one of those few drugs that actually has some beneficial parts to it. It actually can help avoid liver cancer and liver disease. So it's one of the few drugs that actually lowers blood sugar. But type 2 diabetes is often a nutritional disease. It's a something that diet and exercise plays a major role in the diseases of diabetes, and especially type 2 diabetes. Chromium and vanadium are the two minerals that are the most important with diabetes. And for those of you that are taking Prime Longevity, it's got very high doses of both chromium and vanadium. And so if you are on insulin or medication to lower your blood sugars, when you start on Prime Longevity, you will have to monitor that and lower the amounts of insulin or drugs that you're taking, because it will improve your sugar metabolism. So metformin is one of the drugs that we say, okay, if you're going to take a drug, that's one of the better ones. But nothing is as good as exercise and taking the right nutrients. Now, weightlifting exercise is one of the most important exercises for diabetes. Not necessarily aerobics. Now, aerobics can help with heart and keeping you from getting heart disease. But it is the weightlifting that helps to reverse type 2 diabetes. Because what does insulin do? Insulin bonds to sugar and then takes it into the muscles, where the muscles then use that sugar to do work. Well, when your muscles are no longer doing any work or exercise, the muscle will push that sugar back out into the bloodstream. And after a while, there's so much sugar floating in the bloodstream because your muscles aren't using that. Now, the moment you start a weightlifting program or training your muscles to use that sugar, your insulin levels improve and your diabetic or insulin sensitivity improves. So, again, taking a certain fiber can help pull some of the sugars. Watching what you eat, don't eat a lot of sugar, don't drink a lot of fruit juice and candies, these kinds of things. Beans are very, very healthy for diabetics, as well as certain carbs. You have to be careful on carbohydrates. You don't want the white flour breads and things that what's called a high glycemic index. And you want to eat foods that are about 55 or lower. So the glycemic index tells you how much sugar is actually getting into the blood and how your body's using it. And the lower the glycemic index, the easier it is to manage blood sugars. So also eating healthy fats, because healthy fats and healthy proteins are what really diabetics need. And conventional wisdom, of course, is fats are bad for you, yet it's the kind of blanket generalization that is really, I think, causing this obesity crisis to start with. You absolutely need to get more good fats in your diet, and this is to lose weight and to gain optimal health. So while it's been literally brainwashed, people have been brainwashed into believing that eliminating fat from our diet is the clear path to health, it's just not true at all. Good dietary fats have some amazing health benefits. Like, and when I talk about good fats, I'm talking things like flax oil and eating avocados and the oil from oily fish like salmon and sardines and those kinds of oils, coconut oil, raw butter that's very high in vitamin K2. These are very healthy dietary fats, and they will actually maintain healthy cholesterol levels. These good fats, such as found in avocado and coconuts and flaxseed and raw pumpkin seeds and eating walnuts and almonds and pecan, they all raise your HDL good cholesterol and lower the oxidized LDL cholesterol. So they actually improve your triglycerides and cholesterol ratios. So healthy fats also maintain a cardiovascular health, because that type of saturated fat in coconuts and in avocado lead to an increase in good HDL levels overall and improve the lipid profiles. The good fat in coconut oil is called a medium chain triglyceride. It's not a regular saturated fat. And instead of long chain, medium chain triglycerides, and it can help the body convert that fat into energy. Also, healthy fat keeps blood sugar levels under control. And since medium chain triglycerides are more readily utilized for energy than for fat storage, medium chain triglycerides are able to help your body maintain a consistent level of energy and maintain a consistent insulin level and sugars. And also, healthy fats reduce inflammation. A diet rich in good healthy fat can contribute to reduced inflammation in the arteries and in the heart. And especially these medium chain triglycerides contain antioxidant properties. That's where vitamin E is found, and the different forms of vitamin E, tocopherols and tocotrienols, and they help to prevent inflammation throughout the body. They're all anti-inflammatories. It also helps you from being hungry between meals, especially between breakfast and lunch. And if you start your morning with some good proteins and fat instead of carbohydrates and sugar, you're going to do much better. Children will do much better. It impacts your skin health. It makes you feel alive. And you can get more good fats, again, by eating these things, like I said. Avocados, walnuts, other raw seeds and nuts like sunflower seeds and pumpkin seeds, and eating olives, both green and black olives, and using olive oil or flax oil in your salad dressing, using avocado oil in your cooking or coconut oil in your cooking. So all of these are how to improve heart function and maintain proper function of your pancreas, which is diabetes.
We do have one question.
Yes.
It's from Calvin. He asks, does diatomaceous earth have any bad effects on formation of kidney stones? I've had three episodes with kidney stones.
No, they won't. What happens with kidney stones is you have low magnesium levels. And so you want to add magnesium, and I like magnesium citrate. That's just a very inexpensive form of magnesium instead of magnesium oxide. That's used more for constipation. You can also get magnesium peroxide, which is a closer form of homazone. Homazone is magnesium ozonates, but magnesium will actually help that. Diatomaceous earth will not cause kidney stones. They help to pull out heavy metals out of the body. They help to pull chemicals out of the body. They will actually give silica into the body, which helps to promote connective tissue. So for those of you that have a gallbladder issue, as an example, or gallstones or kidney stones, hydrangea is the herb that you would want to take for that. And there's also what we have is a gallbladder, liver flush, gallbladder flush. And it's how to do that and get rid of stones, gallbladder stones, naturally. For kidney stones, what you want is lemon juice. And you can drink a fresh natural lemonade that you make, or limeade, and that will actually help to get rid of kidney stones. So diatomaceous earth is very beneficial. It does not cause, there's no known, the only known side effect is either a little, for certain people that are dehydrated, you can get some more extra constipation. That's why I recommend the probiotics like sauerkraut and kimchi and apple cider vinegar. Or some people, it might cause a little loose bowels. So that's, again, when I recommend adding the psyllium hulls to that and the sauerkraut, kimchi, and apple cider vinegar. So those are the things that can help promote healthy kidneys, gallbladder, and bowel function. Diatomaceous earth is one of those. You have to make sure that you're buying food-grade diatomaceous earth, because it's also used as a filter in pool filters. So if you have a swimming pool, it's used in that filtration. But that diatomaceous earth has been heated to 2,000 degrees and is crystallized. Raw diatomaceous earth is not like that. So that's the one you want to use. Very, very important. Diatomaceous earth can also be used in your backyard. We bought a 50-pound bag of that, and I went through and by the handful just spread it all over the grass, and then all over the flowers and the rose bushes and the different plants that we have growing. Diatomaceous earth will get rid of aphids and ticks and spiders, and you can actually make a little trail right at the foundation of your house, right at the wall where it meets the ground, and go all about a 2 or 3 inch wide strip all the way around the house, right at the foot of the foundation and the wall, and you put that diatomaceous earth. Bugs won't cross it. Cockroaches and bugs and spiders won't cross it. I know that when you build a house, if you're building a house, get a 50-pound bag of diatomaceous earth, and when they do the framing of the house and the trusses in the roof, go around and actually throw handfuls of diatomaceous earth into the framing and up in the trusses, and you will prevent bugs from ever coming into your house to begin with. You can also get some of that diatomaceous earth and put a small handful and just sprinkle it in, under the counters, under the sink in the kitchen or bathrooms, some on the floor in the closets, And if you have ticks or aphids or anything that builds up in the carpet, you can sprinkle diatomaceous earth on the carpet, leave it for a few days, and then go back in and vacuum it up, and it'll kill the bugs that are in the carpets. So fleas and ticks and ants and spiders. So that's about diatomaceous earth. Very, very good. So actually, another great question. We'll be right back. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph, Natural Solutions Radio.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.
And good morning. Thank you for joining me here at Natural Solutions Radio. Diatomaceous earth is one of those things that are so inexpensive that it's almost foolish not to have it. Super fiber, it prevents colon cancer and polyps and diverticuli, and it prevents all of the diseases from Crohn's and colitis, especially when you mix it with a fiber and the probiotic food. There's a great article on vitamin K2. I talk a lot about vitamin K, and vitamin K2 actually can help reverse heart disease. The study was done in the Journal of Thrombosis and Homeostasis. Did a number of studies on vitamin K2. And heart disease is one of the number one causes of death and illness worldwide, causing over 17 million deaths each year. And that's a toll that is expected to rise to maybe close to 24 million by 2030. Long known that arteriosclerosis, or the calcified deposits in the arteries, is the major player in heart disease. Well, now, new studies on a little-known nutrient called vitamin K2 reveal this vital role in health. And what happens is vitamin K is essential for the proper clotting of blood and maintaining of bone density. It exists in two forms, vitamin K1, which is known as polyquinone and polioquinone, and vitamin K2, or menaquinone. And vitamin K2, in turn, comes from MK4 or MK7. Now, what we've known is that vitamin K1 has to do with clotting factor, and vitamin K2 performs very different functions. Vitamin K2 regulates the level and location of calcium in the body. So low levels of vitamin K2 are linked with an increased risk of arteriosclerosis, or plaque buildup that's in the body, and that mineral that builds up in that is calcium. So when you take high amounts of vitamin K2, it actually reverses the calcification of those arteries. So when you take vitamin D, and I take vitamin D and K2 always go together, you want to use a K2 that's a high dose. 100 micrograms is good, but I like the 500 micrograms or even 1,000 micrograms, 1 milligram of K2 per 5,000 units of vitamin D. And what that does, it'll take the calcium out of those plaque deposits and reestablish it and put it back into bone. And so calcified arteries increase your risk of heart disease, stroke, heart attack, dementia, premature death. So K2 can really come to the rescue. And they've done animal studies on vitamin K and human studies. And again, vitamin K2 blocks the calcification of arteriosclerosis by binding to calcium, and then the vitamin D and K2 together, especially if you add the mineral silica, it sends that back to the bones, and it actually increases the tensile strength of bone. And it helps the ability to store the calcium in bones and keeping it from infiltrating soft tissues and arteries. So there's all kinds of studies on that now, and vitamin K2. So again, high-dose vitamin K2 can actually reverse arterial stiffness. And again, Not just the K2, but when you add a good 5,000 units of vitamin D, Linus Pauling says for the connective tissue of the arteries is vitamin C and the amino acid L-lysine in a 2-to-1 ratio, 2 vitamin C to 1 L-lysine. And when you mix all those nutrients together, you're really doing a great service to your heart and reversing that arterial stiffness and high blood pressure and heart disease. So the high-dose vitamin K2 group in the blood reversed carotid artery stiffness and reversed the plaque that built up in the carotid artery. So again, this was in the Journal of Thrombosis and Homeostasis. So excellent article. Take the vitamin K2, and there's no question about it, but vitamin K2 along with the vitamin D3 will actually help reverse heart disease. I want to finish off with these five foods that are advertised as health foods, which really are pretty harmful. They're not necessarily health foods. And here's the top five health foods that can actually cause a lot of damage. The one is most fruit juices, you know, bottled fruit juices, because the same amount of easily digestible sugar as sugar-sweetened soft drinks. So the sugar in most fruit juice is the same sugar in soft drinks. So it's best to eat the whole fruit. Now, the one fruit that I do recommend in juice form, if you need to, is things like prune juice, because it has a therapeutic effect on the bowels, and pomegranate juice has effect on the entire immune system. But most fruit juices contain too much sugar. The second one is a whole wheat bread. Now, for those of you that are sensitive to gluten, it can cause digestive problems, and it can actually cause various symptoms, gassy, bloated, heartburn, and a lot of bowel issues. So it also can cause a vitamin D deficiency, because it also can increase the small, dense LDL cholesterol. If you're not having a gluten sensitivity, whole grain would be the way to the go, but I think a lot of people can do better on gluten-free. Another one is agave nectar. It's loaded with fructose and the same as corn syrup. So it causes all the same problems as regular sugar and high fructose corn syrup. Agave nectar is advertised as a health food. If you want a sugar, raw honey, especially honey from a desert that has anti-cancer properties. The next one, number four, is sports drinks. And if you're not doing super intense workouts, then you don't need to be drinking these sport drinks. They're not needed. They contain too much sugar. They do have some electrolytes, but again, it's the sugar that we're looking at. And number five is vegetable oils, Wesson oil and mazola oil and corn oil and safflower oils. These are unhealthy oils to cook with. They're unhealthy oils to use in salad dressing. They lead to inflammation in the body due to an imbalance of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids. So the good oils to cook with is avocado oil, because that can go to 550 degrees. Also, coconut oil that can go up as high as 450 to 500 degrees. Olive oil, you have to be careful. Don't use the vegetable oils to cook with. Use the ones that I just mentioned. Flax oil, olive oil, grapeseed oil can all go in. And sometimes some of the sesame oil, when you're making a salad dressing, really gives some extra flavor to that. So those can really help. But those five health foods are not really health foods. So you have to be careful with those. Again, just to touch on some of the things we talked about, a lot about CQ10 and vitamin E with selenium. They help you from dying from cardiovascular disease. Vitamin K2, vitamin D also helps cardiovascular disease. The fish oils help with lowering triglycerides and also help with cardiovascular disease. So again, in. You can take these nutrients. They really will make a difference. Prime Longevity, check out the ingredient list, and you'll find it's the best on the market. You can call and order product directly. Thank you to everyone who joined us today. This is Eliezer Ben-Joseph. We'll be back next week with another show. The opinions and views expressed on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not endorsed by Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, or any other social media outlets. Most of the therapeutic modalities mentioned on Natural Solutions Radio Show are not recognized by standard allopathic medicine and are not endorsed by the American Medical Association or the FDA. The very concept of natural therapies for maintaining body systems are foreign to the thinking of modern allopathic medicine. Join us again next Saturday morning on Natural Solutions Radio with me, Professor Eliezer Ben-Joseph. Today's show is brought to you by Prime Longevity and Health Naturally. Prime Longevity, check it out. PrimeLongevity.com, the best anti-aging supplement on the market.
Health Naturally is the best apothecary in town for all your supplement needs. We here at Health Naturally believe in the natural approach to your health and wellness. About supplements for your specific health concerns and needs, be sure to call us at 915-833-0222 for your questions and comments, or come and visit us at 7040 North Mesa, El Paso, Texas. Remember, call 915-833-0222. Know that prevention is the best alternative to a cure.